Hello there, I'm Rob, a producer on the Black Country Talking News. Welcome back. This week's edition is for the 12th of January, 2022.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by sightloss charity Beacon Centre. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. All you need to do is say, "Alexa, play Black Country Talking News." Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods: calling 01902 213 210, visiting our website www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by simply searching Beacon Black Country Talking News and hitting the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you, Simon. Speaking for us this week, we have myself, Rob, Mina, Craig, Helen, Angela, Christine, Ed, Liz, Ian, Peter, Wendy, and of course, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have an update from Beacon, some local news from the Black Country. We have the quiz with Mina, news from West Bromwich Albion and Wolves, a Did You Know section from Flashback Roger, the weather, a 10-day workout, winter safety tips, Craig's Black Country joke book, and rounding all that off, we have a piece from TNF about the Guide Dogs charity mascot known as Flash. However, we start this week with our Guess the Sound question. I'm going to play a sound clip, and all you have to do is simply guess what it is. So, here's this week's clip. Have a think on that, and Mina will reveal the answer later, alongside the usual quiz answers. We now, as always then, have some local news, brought to us by Angela, Ed, Liz, Ian, and first up, it's Christine.
The coronavirus infection rate more than doubled in parts of the Black Country in just 7 days over Christmas, new figures show. The rapid spread caused by the Omicron variant has seen the number of new positive cases leap across the region. In the West Midlands as a whole, the infection rate reached 1,623 cases per 100,000 people on January the 1st, an increase of 71.8% on the week before. But in some boroughs in the Black Country and Staffordshire, the increase was even more dramatic. The highest increase was in Wolverhampton, where the infection rate increased by 115% to 1,977.3. But the highest rate in the region was in Cannock Chase, where it reached 2,218.1 after an increase of 103%. And in Dudley, the infection rate increased by 99% from 990.2 to 1,969.8. Professor Sir David Spiegelhalter, chairman of the Winton Centre for Risk and Evidence Communication, said that while there is no definite severing between the number of COVID infections and hospital admissions, there has been a break between the number of cases and severe outcomes. The big severing is between really severe outcomes, and that there's still no sign of a serious increase in intensive care and ventilation and in deaths. We would have expected to see that by now in London and elsewhere, so that is really the reassuring thing. I think we can guarantee that over this wave, as we endure the next few weeks, what we're not going to see is a big surge in very severe outcomes.
A 25-year-old woman was confined in a Wolverhampton hospital's A&E department for 4 days because of a lack of mental health beds. BBC was told by a source at New Cross Hospital that the woman arrived at A&E on December the 31st in distress. The 25-year-old was not in need of physical treatment, but kept trying to remove her clothes and remained in a secure room for 4 days under the supervision of two female security guards. A bed in a mental health hospital could not be found for the woman from Birmingham until Monday, January the 3rd, where she was transferred to a psychiatric hospital in Dudley. The source at New Cross Hospital told the BBC, "Over the weekend, Friday to Monday, there wasn't a single suitable mental health bed available anywhere in England that we could access. It is not uncommon for patients to have to be transferred to Sheffield or as far as Welwyn Garden City. However, the bed she was transferred to was not completely suitable," with a second source saying, "There wasn't an appropriate bed in Dudley, but it was the least worst option and she was admitted on Monday." In a joint statement addressing the concerns, the Royal Wolverhampton NHS Trust and Black Country Healthcare Trust said, "When local patients require a mental health hospital admission, we have a strong record of making sure they are placed locally in the Black Country. We also work with other trusts to provide appropriate support for those patients from other areas. At times, this can take longer than what we would ideally want for our patients, and unfortunately, this can mean patients' experience is not as what it should be or what we would want. Current mental health bed capacity in the Black Country is particularly pressured as we deal with the impact of a rise in COVID-19 cases."
Thousands of missing people were reunited with loved ones last year thanks to West Midlands Police Locate teams. The teams were involved in just over 13,000 missing people reports during 2021, ranging from an 8-month-old baby to a 95-year-old man. They included a vulnerable 16-year-old boy who was a victim of labour exploitation. He has since been fully safeguarded and is now engaging with education services. A woman with mental health issues who had turned to rough sleeping was also traced, and with the help of West Midlands Police partners, is now home and on a support package. She even took the time to send officers a card to thank them for the help they gave her. Detective Inspector Phil Poole said, "There can be a wide range of reasons why someone goes missing, but our focus is on finding them safe and well, and as quickly as possible. It's a stressful time for families and friends, and when it's someone particularly vulnerable, the clock is ticking. You have to continually consider the best way of tracing someone without causing any harm or distress. We've had some great support and assistance from the public when we've issued social media appeals, which we're always extremely grateful for. For every report, we have to step back and consider the best approach to finding someone and weigh up the impact it could have on somebody who is vulnerable. Fortunately, we have great, experienced teams who have repeatedly shown they know what's best for a successful investigation. It's a lovely feeling when you've helped reunite someone with their loved ones."
GP practices across the Black Country have changed the way patients book appointments. With higher demand for primary care services and increased infection control measures, Black Country NHS bosses have introduced a new system. They hope it will mean fewer complaints from patients who have been forced to wait on hold for record times before speaking to someone. A spokesman for the Black Country MHS Clinical Commissioning Group said all appointments are being triaged. "This gives patients the chance to explain what is wrong, and we can then ensure you have an appointment with the most appropriate person and to help those with the greatest need get seen first." Triage is usually conducted by a trained member of the practice team who will ask patients a number of questions in order to decide the most appropriate type of appointment for you. This could be to be seen in person or by phone consultation, video consultation, or self-care, or help from a community pharmacy or optician. The traditional system of patients seeing their GP is being replaced by specialists getting involved earlier. The spokesman added, "Many GP practices now include a range of health professionals who can diagnose and treat health conditions. This ensures that patients see the right person at the right time. If it is most appropriate for patients to see a doctor, they will be offered an appointment with a GP. However, the GP isn't always the best person to see. Medical centres and GP surgeries will have general nurse practitioners, healthcare assistants, paramedics, physiotherapists, mental health nurses, physicians and registrars.
NHS bosses are expecting new guidance on how to sack potentially more than 8,000 unvaccinated staff members in the region. NHS England is due to provide an update this week on how to deal with staff who have not been double vaccinated against COVID, with the deadline approaching. The government last year decided health workers who have face-to-face dealings with the public must meet the requirement unless medically exempt. The deadline for staff to be double-jabbed is the 31st of March, but workers will need to have received their first vaccination by the 3rd of February in order to allow the space between first and second doses. The latest figures show that health trusts in Staffordshire, Birmingham and the Black Country have 8,607 workers who have not been double vaccinated by the 28th of November, latest data available. It is understood that new updated guidance is imminent on the procedure for removing NHS staff. At Dudley Group NHS Foundation Trust, 87.2% have received both doses according to the update, leaving 1,172 workers who had not met the status. While at the Royal Wolverhampton NHS Trust, there are 1,363 workers who are short of the requirements, with 88.5% of workers double vaccinated.
Now it's time to hand over to Helen, who has for us this week's Beacon Update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from the Beacon Centre. Well, Happy New Year. Have you got any New Year's resolutions planned for 2022? Change can be good for us all sometimes, but remember, if you're welcoming in the new year with the same you, that is fine too. But if you do want to make this year the year you make a difference, why not give a gift of your time and volunteer with Beacon? We've got a host of roles available to suit everyone of all ages, but we're particularly looking for a volunteer driver for our shops. If you fancy finding out more about the role or any of our volunteer opportunities, email people@beaconvision.org. That's people@beaconvision.org. Next, we've got some good news as we want to say a big thank you to Vodafone UK. They've supplied us with some SIM cards for our digital skills programme to equip visually impaired people with the skills they need to make the most of technology and to stay in touch with loved ones. If you'd like to find out more about this scheme, why not get in touch with us? Call 01902 880 111. That's 01902 880 111. Or email inquiries@beaconvision.org to find out more. Now, how are you listening to me today? Well, here at Beacon, we know not everyone can get online to listen to their favourite podcast or catch up on the latest news. During 2021, we sent out over 5,700 CDs to people wanting to listen to our talking news in that format. So, if you don't already, or there's someone you know who'd like to sign up to receive our talking news on CD each week, please email us at bctn@beaconvision.org. That's bctn@beaconvision.org. Next, we've got a date for your diary. It's always really exciting at the start of the year when you've got new things to put on your calendar, isn't it? We're really excited to announce that we'll be launching Beacon Coffee Mornings in 2022. You can join us for coffee and a catch-up on the second Friday of every month at our Sedgley Centre and on the fourth Friday of the month at our Stourbridge Centre. We'll be kicking off at Sedgley on January the 14th between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. and in Stourbridge on January the 28th at the same time. It costs £5 to attend and you can find out more by calling us on 01902 880 111. Now, just before we finish on this, I should point out that other drinks and coffee are definitely available. Now, as I mentioned at the start of this week's update, for many of us, the new year is a time for a new beginning. Whether you're looking to restart your career or just learn some new skills, if you're living with a disability and would like support to find work or improve your skills, get in touch. Email inquiries@beaconvision.org to see how we could help you in 2022. The Evolve Project and the Bridges Project are funded by the European Social Fund and the National Lottery Community Fund. That's it for this week. I'll be back soon with another update. Bye-bye.
Cheers for that update, Helen. Up next, we have another block of local news. And starting this, we hear from Angela.
People living in Dudley can pay £30 for extra green bin collections, whilst the rest of the service will remain free, chiefs have announced. Dudley Council announced last month residents would have to pay for the service, which would be extended from 32 weeks to 50 weeks. It led to backlash against the authority, with almost 2,500 signing a petition against it, amid fears it would lead to more cases of fly tipping. But now it has been announced the 32-week fortnightly collections will remain, with residents able to buy six extra collections over 12 weeks. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Cabinet Member for Public Realm, said, "We know how much people have valued the Green Waste Service and we have to make sure that we do what we can to provide options to meet our residents' needs. I know the current service, which stops over the whole winter period, is a frustration to many keen gardeners who have asked for it to be extended. At the same time, some residents are quite happy with the current collection period. Many councils do charge for the whole Green Waste Service, and this is an option we have, of course, to have to consider. But we have now looked at how we can do things differently by offering an additional option to our residents throughout the winter months. We hope this plan meets everybody's needs, ensuring a quality, value for money service all year round for the people who want to take advantage of it."
Pupils and staff across Wolverhampton schools are being reminded of the importance of wearing face coverings and getting rapid COVID testing. All secondary schools across Wolverhampton were asked to provide an on-site rapid COVID-19 test to each pupil before they return to the classroom this week to help reduce the transmission of COVID-19. They should then take a second rapid test at home 3 to 4 days later. Primary, secondary and early years staff were asked to self-test at home before returning, and secondary pupils and all staff should continue to test themselves twice a week or more frequently in the event of an outbreak. Face coverings are now required to be worn in classrooms in secondary schools, as well as in communal areas and on school and public transport, unless pupils and staff are exempt. Meanwhile, 12 to 15-year-olds are strongly encouraged to get fully vaccinated by having two doses of the COVID-19 vaccine, while anyone aged 16 and over is urged to get their booster as soon as it is due. Councillor Dr. Michael Hardacre, Wolverhampton Council's Cabinet Member for Education and Skills, said, "It is of course excellent news that children and young people have been able to return to the classroom following the recent Christmas break. We want our classrooms open and operating because that's where our children want and need to be. And the onus is now on everyone to do all they can to stop the spread of the new Omicron variant by wearing face coverings where required and getting tested regularly. Vaccines remain the greatest protection we have against COVID-19, and so I urge all 12 to 15-year-olds who have not yet come forward yet to get vaccinated, and everyone aged 16 and over to get their boosters as soon as they are able to."
Protesters fear development on their doorstep could pave the way for the loss of more greenbelt land in the future. Land at Red Lane, which sits on the border between Dudley and South Staffordshire, is being used as a builder's yard, and an application has now been lodged to build offices at the site too. But those living in Sunningdale Road have lodged objections with South Staffordshire Council over the condition of the site and noise pollution and bright lighting emanating from it during the night. Residents gathered to protest against the work, supported by Dudley North MP Marco Longhi, who said more work on the site could mean it's reclassified as a brownfield site, opening it up to larger scale development in the future. Resident Catherine Morris said, "In clear view of my garden is an area that was previously used for horse grazing and has now become a rubbish tip with building debris and vehicle tyres. This has been the case since the business was established." Mrs. Morris is also concerned a new application to build offices at a storage shed at the site will increase traffic. Mrs. Morris added that a condition of the original planning permission was that mature trees be planted to disguise the concrete boundary of the site, but says this has not been done. MP Marco Longhi said approval was granted for the builder's yard on the land without public consultation. He said that as it was inside South Staffordshire, the council said it was under no obligation to consult the residents who lived in Dudley. There have been cherry pickers and large salt piles and about 32 skylights which light up a very rural area and cause high light pollution, said Mr. Longhi. He has written to the chief executive of South Staffordshire Council to register his objection.
Coronavirus cases led to more than 350 staff absences at one Black Country NHS trust on Boxing Day, new figures show. COVID was the reason behind more than half of staff absences at the Royal Wolverhampton Trust on December the 26th. NHS England data shows 651 staff at the trust, which runs New Cross Hospital and Cannock Chase Hospital, were off sick, of which 353 had COVID-19 or were self-isolating due to the virus. The Trust has about 11,000 staff overall, and COVID-related staff absences rose sharply at the Dudley Group NHS Foundation Trust. Of the 285 staff off sick on December the 26th, 173 were off because of COVID. A week before, there were 67 COVID-related absences. NHS England data shows that the region's hospitals were caring for more than 460 coronavirus patients as of Tuesday last week, and the virus has been the reason behind large numbers of NHS workers self-isolating and being unable to go to work. A quarter of the absences at both Sandwell and West Birmingham hospitals, NHS Trust and University Hospitals Birmingham NHS Foundation Trust on Boxing Day were related to COVID. Professor Powis said new nurses and reservists were being recruited to deal with pressures, as Nightingale hubs are being set up across the country to tackle a surge in coronavirus patients. He added, "We don't yet know the full scale of rising Omicron cases and how this will affect people needing NHS treatment, but having hit a 10-month high for the number of patients in hospital with COVID while wrestling with sharply increasing staff absences, we are doing everything possible to free up beds and get people home to their loved ones."
The chief executive of the Black Country Living Museum has said he was very grateful and humbled after being awarded an OBE. Andrew Lovitch, chair of the Association of Independent Museums, received the accolade for services to cultural heritage amid COVID-19. He was awarded the OBE in the latest New Year's honour announcements for his work through AIM to help independent museums across the UK. Mr. Lovitch said, "When I was elected as chair of the Association of Independent Museums in 2019, I wanted to repay the trust the board of AIM had placed in me by doing the very best I could to help our members, independent museums and heritage sites, to prosper and deliver for their communities. The pandemic created a crisis for museums and heritage sites, with many facing bankruptcy. At that time, I characterised the alternative to swift public sector investment as a messy fire sale of assets, people's lives and their communities. Public sector support has enabled independent museums, including Black Country Living Museum, not just to survive, but to thrive, so they can deliver a long-term return on investments for visitors. This honour simply reflects the value people attach to their museums. I'm very grateful for and humbled by the appreciation shown for the part I have been privileged to play in supporting our members and the work they do for our cultural heritage."
It's time next to give our brains a workout, as we have Mina with this week's quiz questions.
Hello and welcome to our first flashback quiz of 2022. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Question 1. What style of makeup did King Tut's mask inadvertently promote? Question 2. In what year did Wimbledon's centre court actually find itself at the centre? Question 3. Which king said beef eaters should stay in the Tower of London? Question 4. What used to be struck in the Tower of London? Question 5. At least how many ghosts are regularly reported at the Tower of London? And finally, question 6. Who was responsible for destroying the original crown jewels? As always, I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show, but for now, good luck!
Thank you for those questions, Mina. I'll give those a ponder, of course. Up next, we have the next block of local news, and starting this one, we hear first from Liz.
Keepers at Dudley Zoo have been left devastated after dozens of penguins were killed in an outbreak of bird malaria. Around 50 of the zoo's 69 Humboldt penguins have so far died after the avian disease tore through the colony, despite a major effort from vets and the zoo's bird keepers. The parasitic disease is transmitted by the bite of infected mosquitoes. It can't be passed on to humans or other animal species, but can be fatal to penguins who do not have a natural immunity to the disease. Derek Grove, the zoo's director, said, "We are all heartbroken with the huge loss in Penguin Bay, and it's been an especially distressing time for our bird team, who have devoted years to their care. Their dedication and tireless efforts to care for our penguins over recent weeks has been exemplary. They've provided round-the-clock care to individually treat the birds in their fight to save as many as possible, and we thank them for their determination. Having consulted with avian experts and animal collections around the world, we know we've done all we can. The zoo, including the Penguin Bay area, remain open, but around 70% of the penguin population has died," a spokesman confirmed. Mr. Grove added, "Thankfully, occurrences like this are rare, and in over 3 decades, we've never experienced anything like it before. Unfortunately, penguins are particularly susceptible to the disease, as they do not have natural resistance against it, and it's also not easily identifiable through medical tests."
A school has pulled itself out of special measures in Ofsted's view after making rapid progress. Following a 2-day inspection in November, St. Teresa's Catholic Academy in Parkfields, Wolverhampton, was judged by Ofsted to require improvement, with 2 areas graded good: behaviours and attitudes and personal development. The school had been judged to be inadequate after a monitoring visit in June last year, although inspectors recognised the efforts its leaders were making towards the removal of special measures status. In the latest report, inspectors commented on the continuing improvements and strategic vision for excellence at the school, part of the St. Francis and St. Clair multi-academy company, stating that school leaders, supported by the local governing body, have driven developments in the quality of education across the school. However, they are not complacent and have plans to make further improvements. Lead inspector Wayne Simner pointed to the strong teaching of early reading and phonics and the school's high expectations to give every child equal access to an exceptional Catholic education. Principal Stacey McHale said, "We are pleased that the Ofsted report recognises the hard work and determination of all staff and children at St. Teresa's. We have made significant and sustained improvements since 2020, despite the impact of 2 national lockdowns. We will continue to improve, providing high-quality education and striving for the very best for our fantastic pupils."
A community centre in Wolverhampton that reopened over the Christmas break to give COVID-19 vaccinations recorded a higher than average number of first, second and booster jabs for the city in just 5 days. The Hub on Griffiths Drive in Ashmore Park, Wensfield, vaccinated 503 people between December the 18th and the 23rd, with approximately one in every five attending for the first time. Councillor Phil Bateman said that although there was still a lot of work to be done in ensuring the city remained as best protected as possible, the news was very encouraging for the community. He said, "The council and all the health workers and volunteers giving their time will continue to press as hard as we all can to ensure our residents have taken up the vaccinations on offer and done all they can to test and take the guidance if they do become infected. This action by the council, working with its partners in the NHS and others, has done much to ensure our ward here in Wensfield North and Ashmore Park is now above average for the city for first, second and booster jabs. This is absolutely great news. With the new year here, the public health team is now working hard on the other areas of the city who do not sport the same statistics as we do at the moment. So hopefully, the hub at Ashmore Park won't be needed again in the same way."
Visitors to the rock houses at Kinver Edge will be greeted at a new hut after plans were approved for the National Trust attraction. The houses at the South Staffordshire Beauty Spot are carved out of sandstone and were home to several families during the 19th century, but have become a tourist attraction in more recent decades. The National Trust owns and manages around 228 hectares, 563 acres, of land in Kinver Edge. While access to the countryside is free, there is an admission fee for non-National Trust members visiting the rock houses, which they pay at a reception hut located along a path leading from the parking area. This building is now set to be upgraded after South Staffordshire Council granted approval for a replacement hut. The Compton Road site is located in the West Midlands Greenbelt, where the proposed structure would normally be considered inappropriate development. But a report to South Staffordshire Council's planning committee said that they were very special circumstances to allow the new hut to be built at the site. The report added, "The rock houses are an important heritage asset and the new visitor reception hut will assist in maintaining the site moving forwards. Prior to COVID in 2019, there were about 69,000 visitors to the rock houses."
Coffee lovers will be delighted Starbucks is returning to Wolverhampton city centre. The giant coffee chain, which has 32,000 outlets across the world, left the Mander Centre in August 2019. However, the company is recommitting to Wolverhampton by opening a new coffee shop on Dudley Street in the old Carphone Warehouse unit. Fallings Park Councillor Chris Burden welcomed the new investment in the city centre. "It's been a few years of absence, but it's good to see confidence in the sector to open a new, relatively big unit in a prominent part of town." The Labour councillor would prefer a local business to be taking on the premises, but understands the importance of global brands choosing Wolverhampton to do business. He said, "I know lots of people will perhaps rightly be disappointed by a chain coffee company coming in instead of an independent, and I understand that. But seeing industry confidence in prominent units is the first step to bringing life into the city centre."
Up now, we have a piece compiled by our sight loss advisors, entitled Winter Safety Tips for People with Sight Loss. Winter Safety Tips for People with Sight Loss. Going outdoors. We recommend wearing brightly coloured outerwear that stands out, or consider adding a reflective item to give drivers more warning by the roadside and as you cross roads. You could consider wearing a high visibility vest, sash or armbands to make yourself more visible. Always wear comfortable flat footwear with good tread, rubber-soled anti-slip boots, Wellingtons or shoes that grip as you walk, good quality winter socks that are not tied around your ankles, feet or lower legs. Remember to layer your clothes as these will help to keep our bodies warm. A waterproof coat or winter jacket will do also. The bright winter sun and bright reflection from snow can cause unwanted glare. Try wearing sunglasses or block glasses. Good quality block glasses come in a range of colours and styles that fit around the face, stopping glare from affecting vision. Try cocoons, for example. If you're using a long mobility cane in cold weather, wear leather or vegan gloves rather than woolen gloves. Leather gloves support your ability to pick up the changes in surfaces and textures through your cane. A light cane touch is recommended for fluffy snow. A heavier touch for thick snow and ice, using the cane to poke through the snow will give you depth and consistency. Using the inner edge or shoreline of a path, where there is one, should make travelling in snow easier. This will give you a line of travel and stop you from drifting into the road or falling off the curb, which might be covered over with snow. The arrival of snow can bring added challenges, sounds, echoes, changes, and can be muffled. It can also be harder to hear traffic. Try wearing a beanie hat above the ears so as not to impede noises around you. Guide dogs can struggle in bad winter weather if the snow gets too thick. They lose the lines which they follow. They also struggle to find curbs or edges to cross the road, which can become a trip or fall hazard. Pre-plan a journey. If the weather is bad, think about what you need. Is the journey necessary? Can you ring a family member to support you? A neighbour or a friend? Will you need to walk? Can you travel by car or taxi? Will you experience problems getting home? Has the snow turned to ice? Are you in danger of falling and breaking an arm, wrist, leg or ankle? Is there a charity or local organisation that can help? Can you do internet shopping for food? Could a family member or friend order your food for you and get it delivered? Does the local chemist deliver prescriptions? If in doubt, don't go out, stay safe. Staying safe at home. Keep warm by having the heating on. You use less energy by having the heating switched on constant. If it is cold, turn your thermostat up a little. Too warm, turn it down a few notches. Keep internal doors closed. Wear a lot of layers of clothes. Layers keep us warm. Wear socks and good fitting slippers. A house coat or dressing gown. Blankets are also a good way to keep warm. Why not wear a hat? We lose heat through our heads. Eat at regular intervals throughout the day and early evening, as this provides energy for our bodies to stay warm. Soups, stews, cup of soups, tea, coffee, milky drinks, cereals. It's always a good idea to stock up the pantry with tinned goods, which keep for a long time. Top up the freezer too. Don't forget loo rolls. This always seems to be an essential item we run out of. Before bed, make a flask of hot refreshment to take up with you. A bottle of water, or Lucozade if you're diabetic, and some biscuits in case you wake hypo in the night. Make sure you have a stock of light bulbs and good daylight lamps during the winter months. It can go dusky and dark from around 3:30 p.m. and still be dark at 8 a.m. Keep daylight torches in different rooms in case of a power cut. Take a mobile phone to bed with you, so if you need to, you can call for help. Have it switched on at all times in case family want to get in touch with you. Stay in touch with people. Leave a landing light on at night in case you need to visit the bathroom or go downstairs. Anywhere from 7 to 36% of falls happen on stairs. If you'd like to know more about how to stay safe in winter with sight loss, or you have family members who might need some support and advice, or equipment to support your independent living, please call Beacon Sight Loss Charity on 01902 880 111 and ask for a sight loss advisor, who are always happy to help. Now we have our final block of local news, and starting this one off, we first hear the voice of Christine.
Pensioners can now enjoy new nature-based activities thanks to a £10,700 grant from the People's Postcode Lottery. The Kingswood Trust will use the money to combat loneliness, improve health and well-being, and reconnect people with each other by inviting them to its countryside location. Groups from Wolverhampton will be able to enjoy walks following set trails to incorporate features such as the old gateposts and willow structures. Chair of the Trust Board, David Harris, said, "Already we have seen many older people regain a sense of confidence from these activities. Our volunteers here with many years' experience at Kingswood Trust lead nature walks and show visitors different plants in the garden, places of historical interest, and answer any questions they may have. Over the summer and into the autumn of 2021, several groups have taken up the opportunity to come for a bespoke visit to Kingswood Trust for Nature Connections. He added, these were organised groups supporting older people who arrived in their own provided transport and helped by their carers. Without exception, every one of them enjoyed the experience and found value in being at a place where they could relax outdoors, go for a short walk, see the animals, meet new people and be a part of nature. The Trust also holds the Dementia Friendly badge and offer bespoke visits to organisations, care homes and charities that support older people with the illness, which affects 850,000 people in the UK. Our bespoke days provided many opportunities for dementia sufferers to be able to enjoy conversation again, as different aspects such as the herb garden, air raid shelter and meeting our animals seemed to stimulate memory.
A Black Country woman hopes she can inspire people after becoming the world's strongest woman over 40. Maria Krasinska was crowned world champion in the Masters category, aged 40 and over, at the World Heavy Events Association World Championships in Kuopio, Finland, on Saturday, December the 18th. The 40-year-old from Dudley was put through a grueling day of competition, flipping 200-kilogram, that's 30 stone, tyres, carrying sandbags, deadlifting a 200-kilogram quad bike, carrying a 60-kilogram, 9-stone, axle and hurling heavy objects over a distance of 3.5 metres. She finished the competition 2.5 points clear of her compatriot Dolores McGuckin and was awarded a gold medal and a crate of smoothies as her prize, as well as the title of world champion, something she said was still very overwhelming. It's difficult to put into words how much this means to me, as I was so overwhelmed and I found out I'd won the competition, said Maria. I was competing against people who I've faced at the European Championships, and while it wasn't the heaviest competition, it was definitely the hardest fight I've had, being pushed all the way. So, when I knew I'd won, it was a mixture of jumping up and down and screaming with delight and trying not to cry, and I know I sent a lot of excited messages to my coach, my partner and other people, so the adrenaline was definitely pumping.
Almost £2,000 has been raised for a popular independent cinema in Wolverhampton after a fundraising campaign was launched last month. Chiefs behind the Lighthouse Cinema, based in the Chubb Building on Friar Street, made the move after a tough year amid coronavirus. It was set up to help bridge a gap in expected income until a series of high-profile events scheduled for this year helped to stabilise the venue. Now a total of £1,720 has been raised for the site, which has taken a financial hit through coronavirus-related closures and restrictions. Kelly Jeffs, CEO of the Lighthouse, said in a newsletter, "Our latest crowdfunding campaign is running for a couple more weeks. Thank you so much to everyone who has already donated. As a registered charity, fundraising is one of our most vital income streams, alongside ticket and bar sales. Nobody needs reminding about how difficult and uncertain the last couple of years have been for cinemas, but we have many exciting plans for 2022, and your help can make sure we get the year off to the best possible start." The cinema, which has been in the city for more than 30 years, reopened in June after being forced to close for 15 months due to the restrictions of the pandemic. A host of events are due to take place at the venue in 2022, including four exhibitions as part of the British Art Show 9, Wolverhampton Literature Festival and the city's first film festival.
The coronavirus lockdown has led to a surge of interest in people wanting their own jukebox at home, says a dealer which is struggling to keep up with demand. Simon Cooper, who works at the jukebox shop in Lye near Stourbridge, says demand is so high that many of the classic machines are sold before they even reach the country. And he says that many models which would have been smashed up as worthless a couple of decades ago have now become prized collectibles. The shop in Lye High Street imports classic jukeboxes from the US before restoring them on site to sell to customers. And Simon, 46, who has worked for the company for 30 years, says that every jukebox gets sold long before the restoration work is complete. "We've always been busy over the past 30 years, but COVID has made us more busy," he said. "People are staying at home, spending more money on their homes. People are having their own home bars and entertaining more at home. They can choose who they mix with." He added that the lockdowns and the closure of pubs in particular has left people with more spare cash. The business was founded by John Crompton, who started work as a jukebox engineer for Ditchburn Music Company in 1964. In 1970, he launched his own company supplying pubs and clubs with coin-operated equipment. But in the mid-1980s, he noticed a revival of interest in the classic American jukeboxes of the 1950s and 60s. He decided to focus on the collector market, and the shop opened in 1991. Celebrity customers include Formula One drivers Jackie Stewart and David Coulthard, and Judas Priest star Glenn Tipton.
A plumber from Rowley Regis has used his skills to create his own pub in a shed and has now gained second place in a national competition. Father of three, Paul Smith, was surprised but delighted to take second place in the competition staged by the Two Fat Blokes Emporium in conjunction with Pub Shed Radio. Now Paul cannot wait for the better weather to return so he can open his pub shed to family and friends to show them the sign he won for the Garden Inn. Paul said, "A man from Weymouth won the competition, but I was delighted to gain second prize consisting of the sign, bar runners, beer mats and a clock. I decided to make the shed, which is about 3.5 by 4 metres square, out of pallets as a shelter when having a barbecue. I made it from scratch using pallets. It just then turned into a place with drinks, where I could entertain family and friends. I turned old gardening tools and bottles into ornaments. My wife Jane, a kitchen assistant at a local school, and the family enjoy relaxing in the shed and being able to enjoy drinks in their own garden setting. I think it's the first time the competition has been held, and I was more than happy to gain second place. Photographs were taken in the summer and again in October for the competition judging. Now I cannot wait for the good weather to return so that I can have barbecues again and entertain friends and family. I want to see their faces when I unveil the special sign for my own pub shed, which is part of the competition prize."
Now it's time to hear from our ever knowledgeable Flashback Roger for another Did You Know feature.
Hello and Happy New Year to everyone, and I hope that you haven't overindulged over the holiday, and I hope too that 2022 is kind to us all. Any road up. Here we go with the first of the year. Now then, did you know that 100 years ago, the discovery of Tutankhamun's tomb in 1922 influenced the Art Deco design style. Egypt held a particular allure to artists and designers and sparked great interest in Egyptian imagery such as scarabs, hieroglyphics and pyramids. They appeared everywhere, in clothing, design and architecture. And the revelation of the design on the Boy King's golden mask promoted the popularity of eyeliner makeup in the West. And Centre Court at Wimbledon was completed in its present location. Although it has always been called Centre Court, but it wasn't until four more courts were built in 1980 which surrounded it that its location lived up to its name. Henry VII's personal guards were the first beef eaters, so named as they were permitted to eat as much beef as they wanted from the king's table. And then Henry VIII decreed that some of them would stay and guard the tower permanently. And the Tower of London, apart from being one of our great tourist attractions, has been the site of the Royal Mint, a great armoury, a zoo, a treasure house, and of course a prison, and the place of execution for many a traitor. In fact, the last person to be executed there was in 1941, when Joseph Jacob was found guilty of being a spy. He was executed by a firing squad. And while we're in the tower, I might as well mention its hauntings. There are many, but there are 13 that are the most reported to be seen or whose presence is regularly felt. Amongst them are Guy Fawkes, Sir Walter Raleigh, Anne Boleyn, Lady Jane Grey, and even the ghost of a grizzly bear, which a god attempted to stab. But when he saw his sword go through the apparition, he went a bit doolally and was carried off senseless to his bed. The crown jewels and all the royal regalia are kept under armed guard at the tower, as they have been for over 600 years, although they're now replacements, as the originals were taken and destroyed by Earl of Cromwell during the English Civil War. Replacements they may be, but still beyond price, and to date have been visited by over 30 million people, making them the most visited attraction in Britain, if not the world. Oh, there it is then, folks. I'm sure that you've all been paying attention and ready for the quiz later. Not that there's any prices involved, but of course, we're just here for the fun of it, aren't we? Well, for now, I'm off. I'm going to have me a light lunch because I've ate all the wrong things over Christmas and put weight on. So when you rode up, that's my New Year's resolution that I'm sure will last at least until next week. So I'll say bye for now. There are a bit. Ooh, I wonder if there's a bit of that Christmas cake left. Oh well, have a look. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra!
Now we have our sportsman, Ian, giving you all the latest football news from Wolves and West Bromwich Albion.
Hello, I'm Ian, and here's your latest football news. Ten-man Albion exited the FA Cup after falling to an extra-time defeat against Brighton at the Hawthorns. Callum Robinson fired the Baggies ahead after Carlin Grant's fine run and pass. The turning point came when defender Cedric Kipre was dismissed for two yellow card fouls in as many minutes. Poland's Jakub Moda equalised to force extra time before Neil Mopay beat former Brighton keeper David Button with a first-time shot from 12 yards to send the Premier League side through. West Brom, fourth in the Championship table, have now had three red cards in two games. Speaking after the encounter, manager Ismail said, "Until the red card, it was a great performance, exactly as we wanted. It was all about the performance, our intensity, our philosophy, our way to play. And I think until the red card, we did it perfectly against a strong Premier League side. We were stable, but the red card was a game changer. That is what I said to the guys after the game. I'm delighted with the performance, the attitude, our way. We showed all the work we have done in the 7 months I have been here so far." The Baggies next have a trip to London as they take on QPR on Saturday. Wolves strolled into the fourth round of the FA Cup with a clinical 3-0 victory at home to Sheffield United. The Championship outfit almost produced an upset with some good first-half chances, which included a disallowed Billy Sharp strike. Wolves, however, took the lead after 14 minutes when Fabio Silva robbed Jack Robinson and fed Podence, who kept his head and found the bottom corner. In the second half, Nelson Semedo scored a second with 18 minutes remaining, rounding off an impressive team move by the hosts. Podence then added a third late on, firing into an empty net after substitute Raul Jimenez had robbed Blades goalkeeper Wes Fodderingham. Speaking after match, boss Large heaped praise on Podence, saying, "Remember 2 or 3 months ago when you guys were talking more about Hwang and Adama? Every time I said don't forget Daniel. He has come from injury, and every time he comes from the bench, he helps the team. Now, in the last 2 months, he is doing very well. He helps the team a lot. He didn't start the season working with me, and now he understands better what I want and what I believe he can give us. He is doing very well, and I am happy for him." Wolves next welcome Southampton to Molineux for a Premier League encounter this Saturday.
Up next, we have 10 Today. 10 Today is a series of 10-minute exercise sessions that can be done at home by anyone. New episodes will appear fortnightly.
Hello everyone, this is 10 Today, a 10-minute set of exercises to do at home to help keep yourself active. Before we get to today's presenter, a couple of housekeeping points to note. The 10 Today project is funded by the Big Lottery and Sport England, and when you're doing the exercises, it's important that you don't push yourself too far, and by taking part, you agree to 10 Today's terms and conditions. You can read these terms and conditions at tnflink.uk/10T, and the 10T is the digit 1, the digit 0, and the letter T. And please remember that you agree to take part at your own risk. Today's exercises are brought to you by Peter, and here he is.
Hello everyone, welcome to 10 Today, broadcast number 6, where we focus on stretching. This is a short 10-minute physical activity routine which will get you moving and stretching. It's great for your health, including improving your balance and building up your strength. Just take it at your own pace. There are plenty of options. If remaining seated, at least to begin with, it will be ideal if you can use a hard chair so that you can sit upright, preferably without arms, which can get in the way of some exercises. We'll start with your feet flat on the floor. Okay, if you are standing up, just step your feet hip width apart. Relax your shoulders and stand up nice and tall. Take a couple of deep breaths. If you're sitting down, place both feet firmly on the floor. Keep your back straight, relax your shoulders and take a couple of deep breaths. In, out. So, we are going to start with a calf stretch, so if you're standing, have your feet facing forward and step your right foot out in front of you with your foot flat on the floor and then bend into that right leg, keeping your leg straight. Put your hands on your right thigh and hold this position, feeling that stretch in the back of your leg. If you're sitting, straighten out your right leg and place your heel on the floor so your toes are pointing upwards, keeping your left leg bent with your foot flat on the floor, and put your hands on your right thigh and lean forward. You should feel that nice stretch in your straight leg. The important thing about stretching is that when you feel the muscles start to stretch, just hold it there. Don't take it any further. So hold that stretch for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now we are going to swap legs. So if you're standing with your feet facing forward, step forward your left foot and bend into that left leg, keeping your back straight. The weight should be on the left foot. And if you're sitting, straighten out your left leg and put your heel on the floor with your toes pointing up, and then keep your right leg bent. Put your hands on your bent thigh and lean your chest slightly forward into the stretch. You should feel that nice stretch in your straight leg. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Next, we're going to do a hamstring stretch. Feet facing forward, step forward with your right foot, placing your foot out in front of you with your foot flat on the floor. Keep this leg straight, then bend your left leg and put your hands on your hips and just lean the chest forward gently. Remember to keep your back straight. Whether you're sitting or standing, you should feel a nice stretch down the back of your leg. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then return to an upright position and swap your legs. So this time, step forward with your left foot, placing your foot out in front of you, with your foot flat on the floor, then bend your right leg and just lean forward gently. Again, feeling that nice long stretch. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Next up, we have a few head and neck stretches. Starting with the head tilt forward, tilt your head gently forward, as if you're nodding. Nice and slowly, and then return upright, and just do that a couple more times. So nodding nice and slowly downwards, and return upright. Keep going slowly. So that should feel a nice stretch in your neck. And the final neck stretch, head rotation. Turn your head to the right slowly, as if you're looking over your right shoulder, then return to middle, then turn your head to the left slowly, as if you're looking over your left shoulder. And just keep going, looking from left to right, slowly feeling that nice stretch in your neck. So for this next one, bend your right arm and bend it over your head so your hand is touching your back, like you're going to scratch your back. And your elbow is next to your ear. With your other hand, press gently on your elbow and feel that nice stretch in your arm. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then release. Then do the same on the other side, so bending your arm over your head with your hand on your back and placing your other hand on your elbow and pressing gently, feeling that nice stretch down your arm. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now we have the side stretch. Stand or sit up tall. Raise your right arm high with your palm facing up, then lean slightly over to your left side, nice and slowly, feeling that stretch all along your right side. Try to keep your body straight and hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now return back to the center. Lean your left hand over and feel that stretch all the way down your left side and hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So the next one is a chest stretch. So open out both your arms to the side so that your chest sticks out a little and you can feel a nice stretch all the way across your chest. Just a little bit, like a long lost friend is coming towards you and you are going to give them one big hug. So with your arms open wide, feeling that stretch across your chest. Keep holding here for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Next up is a trunk rotation. What we mean by your trunk is your upper body. Stand or sit up tall, straight back. Place your hands on your hips and slowly look to your left, feeling your upper body rotate. So bring in the right shoulder in front and return gently to center, and then slowly look to the right, bringing the left shoulder in front, feeling your upper body rotate. Now keep going a few more times, nice and slowly. Great work, everyone. If you're standing, remember to keep your knees soft. And the final stretch, hugging a tree. Just hold your arms out in front of you, just like you are hugging a tree, directly in front of you. Your arms form a nice circle in front, and then cup your hands, putting one hand in front of the other, and push your hands together, feeling that nice stretch across your shoulders and arms. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now sit up or stand up and return to that nice relaxed posture we had at the beginning. Brilliant. So that's the end of the stretching session. I hope you feel loose and revitalized. Just to finish off, shake it out. So just shake those arms and hands, then legs and feet. Great work, everybody. Doing 10 today just 3 times a week can have a great health benefit. It's fun and you simply feel better. So keep going.
That was quite a workout. Up next, we hear from Mina, who has for us a weather update.
The weather for this week ahead looks to be very settled and grey, with temperatures hovering around 7 degrees. UV levels are expected to be low throughout the week. The sunrise and sunset times are 8:10 a.m. for the sunrise and 4:28 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday 14th of January, we have light cloud and light winds with a maximum temperature of 5 degrees. On Saturday 15th of January, we have sunny intervals and a light winds with maximum temperature of 6 degrees. Moving on to Sunday 16th of January through to Tuesday 18th of January, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 7 degrees. And finally, on Wednesday 19th and Thursday 20th of January, we have light cloud and light wind with a maximum temperature of 7 degrees. So, that's your forecast for the week, and as always, enjoy the weather!
Up next, we have the return of Craig's Black Country Joke Book.
Hello, I'm Craig, and I've got for you today some fantastic jokes from me, Black Country Joke Book. Mike went to do the zoo and decided to have a dance with the lions. He only just made it out alive. He said to me later, "I don't think much of that lion dancing." I tell you, do you want to hear a joke about a piece of paper? Never mind, actually, it's terrible. Here's another one for you. My mate from Tipton tried to eat a clock once. I said to him, "I wouldn't do that in myself, it's time consuming." And finally, I saw a golfer at the Three Hammers and he's wearing two pairs of trousers. I reckon it's because he's got a hole in one. I'm Craig, and that was my Black Country Joke Book. Thank you.
Thanks for those, Craig. Up next, we have Mina with the answers to this week's quiz.
Hello, and here are your answers for this week's flashback quiz. Are you ready? Question 1. What style of makeup did King Tut's mask inadvertently promote? And the answer? Eyeliner. Question 2. In what year did Wimbledon's centre court actually find itself at the centre? And the answer is 1980. Question 3. Which king said beefeaters should stay in the Tower of London? And the answer here is King Henry VIII. Question 4. What used to be struck in the Tower of London? And the answer, coins in the Royal Mint. Question 5. At least how many ghosts are regularly reported at the Tower of London? And the answer here, of course, is 13. And finally, question 6. Who was responsible for destroying the original crown jewels? And the answer, Oliver Cromwell. How did you do? Great, I hope. But if not, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Now, did you get the answer to this week's Guess the Sound question that Rob asked at the start of the show? Here's one more chance to hear it before I tell you the answer. The sound you just heard was a recording of someone chopping wood. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we have a piece from TNF Soundings about Flash the Guide Dog.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK. Already a TV star, Flash is the charismatic mascot for Guide Dog's 90th anniversary. We meet the life-changing Hearts puppy trainer who's raising her. And this is written by Louise McAvoy. Guide dogs have a very important job to do. They will change someone's life forever and become their guiding star. To be part of that journey is incredible. So says Mel Neville, a puppy raiser for guide dogs who lives with her partner Steve and their children in Thundridge near Ware. We love dogs and were thinking about getting one, but we were concerned about committing ourselves, Mel says. Keen charity supporters, she and Steve contacted the charity in 2019, and following a home assessment to ensure the environment was suitable, the couple were assigned their first puppy, Berry. Anybody can be a puppy raiser, explains Mel, but you can't leave the dog for more than 3 hours, so it's a big commitment. If you go to work, you have to take it with you. A guide dog in training is allowed to accompany you anywhere, though, so our current puppy, Flash, who we've had since March, goes wherever we go. She's been on a riverboat, taxi, tube, train, and long car journeys. She's always willing to get involved in all different environments, is very sociable, and has fantastic recall. She's going to make a fabulous guide dog. A puppy raiser's job is to ensure a guide dog puppy is well socialized before entering advanced training with an instructor by introducing them to new experiences, sights, sounds, smells, touch, physical movement, grooming and health check equipment, as well as wearing equipment such as a harness. These introductions are done when the puppy is in a calm and relaxed state of mind, so new things are perceived as either neutral or positive. The aim is for a puppy to gradually stop paying attention to irrelevant everyday information, such as the kettle, the boiler, traffic noise outside, birds in the garden, or movement in a vehicle. Flash was 7 weeks old when we got her, so it's a lot sooner than you would get a normal puppy. They need lots of love, cuddles, and encouragement, and you grow together. Twice a month we have a puppy class to teach us what to do, but it's essentially all about developing a well-behaved dog with good manners and the patience to sit and wait. Sitting in a restaurant and not eating the chocolate cake that's fallen on the floor takes a lot of training. There's no miracle, it's about being consistent. Flash has got a big personality. She is incredibly loving and adores cuddles. She's so funny and makes us laugh all the time. When we were washing the car, she stuck her head in the bucket of water and came out with a soapy face. She's just so inquisitive. Flash made national headlines in September when she pulled over BBC Breakfast weather presenter Carol Kirkwood at the Chelsea Flower Show live on TV, footage that quickly went viral online. Up to that point, Flash had been absolutely brilliant, laughs Mel. Flash was at the show in her capacity as the mascot for Guide Dog's 90th anniversary and was named after one of the charity's first four dogs. Flash has attended lots of events this year, including, very suitably, the premiere of Paw Patrol, the movie, in Leicester Square, and at a garden designed for the charity's anniversary at RHS Chelsea. We'd stayed over in a hotel the night before, and it had been a long day, Mel explains. I was standing behind the cameraman, encouraging Flash to stay with Carol, who was holding her lead. Flash found this all a bit strange because I never give her to anybody else to hold. Only Steve and I take her for walks because you have to be registered with guide dogs. Flash pulled on the lead to come to me and Carol, who was crouching down, toppled over. Everyone found it very amusing. Kirkwood down, fellow presenter Dan Walker shouted with delight back in the studio. Guide dogs were started in 1931 by two British pioneers, Muriel Crook and Rosamond Bond, who organised the training of the first four British guide dogs, Flash, Meta, Judy and Folly, from a lock-up in Wallasey, Merseyside. They were matched with four veterans blinded due to faulty gas masks in the First World War. Since then, 36,000 lives have been transformed through a guide dog partnership. Labradors, Golden Retrievers and German Shepherds have been, and remain, guide dogs' most common purebreeds on the program, but the charity now also has curly-haired retrievers and standard poodles. Historically, the Golden Retriever crossed with the Labrador has proved the most successful guide dog, combining many of the desirable traits of both breeds. They are raised for their temperament, Mel explains. They all have their DNA checked to make sure that they have the right nature. They need to be calm and steady, gentle and incredibly patient, but they also need to be able to push through crowds and make their presence known. They can't be frightened. Guide dogs stay with their puppy raisers for 14 to 16 months before heading off for advanced training, when they live with a boarder and attend puppy school from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. until they are matched with their owner at 20 to 24 months old. There is great sadness when a puppy leaves to go to advanced training, Mel admits. It's difficult to say goodbye, but we know from the beginning that the puppy has got a very important job to do. We are given 2 weeks' warning, but the trainer goes on to give us updates on what they've achieved, so you can follow their journey the whole way along. Berry, our first guide dog puppy, who left us in January, has just qualified, and I'm so proud of her. There was overwhelming emotion when she was matched to her blind person. For some puppies in training, being a guide dog isn't right for them. They may have behavioural or health difficulties, such as a skin condition, anxiety, or problems with their joints. These puppies still have a role to play. They become buddy dogs, essentially very well-behaved pet dogs for children with sight loss, to help develop children's self-confidence, improve relationships, and build a greater sense of trust. For anyone considering becoming a puppy raiser, Mel says it's hugely rewarding. We do it because we want to support guide dogs, and we have all had tremendous support from the charity, so we are not doing it on our own. It's a voluntary role, but guide dogs pays all the costs, from medical bills to dog food. The only thing you're giving is your time, and you are part of a journey that will positively change someone's life forever. What could be better than that? Think you could be a guide dog puppy raiser? Visit guidedogs.org.uk or call 0345 143 0191.
TNS Soundings.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who, without their support, we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!